would with me, to the book of 1 John. It's in the back of the book. 1 John.
Page 1342.
Yep, so it's on page 1342. In his Bible. Sunday school was good enough, we're going to tie it in today.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. That's a pump for Sunday school, so if you missed it, come up an hour earlier next time. Yes. And you won't miss it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
St. John, starting in verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, for which we have seen and heard, or that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to catch that phrase right there. Our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
Now, here's a concept that's so strange to a lot of people. Because there's a lot of people that don't even know that there is a God. Or if there is a God, how in the world can I ever get to Him? Would He accept somebody like me? This God who is so amazing that people talk about? Would He accept somebody like me? You just don't know the things that I have done. You don't know the things that I've experienced in my life. How could a God that's like this accept somebody like me? But God wants to have fellowship. Mm-hmm. Fellowship is way more than two fellows in a ship. That you might have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. Now I want us to, as the church, I want us to be able to catch something right here. And I want you to be honest about yourself. And when it comes to this here word, joy, I want you to think for a minute. How much joy do I have? Do I have any joy? Do I have a little bit of joy? Sometimes I have it and sometimes I don't. But I want us to look this morning and be open to the concept that God's got more joy for us than what we may be experiencing. And if I can experience more of this joy, I wonder what it could do for me. See, a lot of times if you don't know that anything, that something can work for you to better you or to advantage you or to advance you, you won't put no effort into it. You'll just take and let it, you'll hear the words, but you'll blow it off and Curtis, was it you that shared that there joke that time about the preacher said there was a and who's they were shooting at something.
Yeah, they were hunting.
Come tell this right now. This needs to be told right now.
He needs a mic.
He needs a mic. Now, when in the world would a man stop? Stop a sermon to let somebody tell a joke?
That don't work for me. So, a preacher, a doctor, and a lawyer went on a hunting expedition. They was all friends, and they decided they were going to go hunting. And the preacher and the doctor and the lawyer, they all saw this big buck at the same time. They looked out and they said, man, there it goes. Well, they all took the guns out, and they all aimed, and they all happened to fire at the same exact time. So then an argument ensued. They said, well, who shot the deer? And each one was convinced that they shot it themselves. And so a game warden strolls by, and he's like, what's all this commotion? And he comes up to them, and they told him what happened. So we all saw the deer. We all shot it at the same time. They said, we just can't figure out which one of us shot it. The game warden said, well, just let me look at the picture. And he got down, he looked at the deer. He said, huh? He said, that's easy. They said, it's easy. He said, the preacher shot it. Said, how do you know the preacher shot it? And they were enraged. He said, it's easy. He said, that bullet went straight in one ear and out the other ear.
Don't y'all do that to the preacher today. Don't you do it to the preacher today. John says, I've written these things to you that your joy may be full. There's a potential for us as believers to have full joy. What would it be like if we walked in full joy? Full joy. See, we're told farther back in the scriptures, a lot of times this one goes over our heads, because it says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So joy carries a whole lot more weight than what we think that it does, and it's much more important than what we think that it is. If something is your strength, anybody ever watch Superman?
Yes,
I have. I have. Able to leap over tall buildings. Stronger than a locomotive. What was the bullet?
Faster.
Faster than a speeding bullet. Superman. But there was one thing that would bring him to his knees.
Jesus. Kryptonite.
Kryptonite. Now I want you to think about ourselves for just a minute. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we have the potential to have full joy, and a lot of times we walk around and experience life with no joy, and if the joy of the Lord is our strength, is it necessary?
Yes.
Would it be of an advantage to us to do everything that we could to make sure that this joy was on a high place, a high level in our life? These things have I written unto you. So the things that he's talking to the church here about are the things that have a way of bringing full joy. These things have I written unto you that your joy may be full. But you can't do like the doctor and the lawyer on the hunting expedition. We cannot allow the things of God to go in one ear and out the other, and expect to have full joy.
Amen.
What we'll find out is all we'll have is an empty head. We don't need a bunch of empty heads. We need a bunch of hearts full of joy. This is the message which ye have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you. This is chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling and what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and what's the exceeding greatness of our power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which worketh in us. I ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine utterance this morning. I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father to us, your people. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read one more verse of Scripture. I just read it, but I want to bring it out. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation. Boy, that's a big word for church this morning. What in the world is he talking about, David, when he says the propitiation? The propitiation. Another translation says it's the expiation. Well, I'm just as in dark on the propitiation as I am with an expiation. What in the world is he talking about? He's the atoning sacrifice. Well, I'm still almost as dark as I was on the other two words with the atoning sacrifice. Let me bring it down to where we're at. I was raised in church all of my life. My grandmama had my mama going to church when she was a little girl. My mama had us going to church when we were little. There was one time Robert and Teddy were about teenagers and they'd gotten to the ag program and Daddy had went and bought a welder. One of those Lincoln welders was about this wide and about this tall and about this thick and had it up here and he bought it. acetylene torch so that they could cut and they could weld. They're both very good cutters and welders today. There were skills that they acquired, but there were some skills that they developed that wasn't quite as good. I'm saying all this to say something. You know how brothers will be sometimes, that there can be disagreements, squabbles. One want to do something one way, one want to do it another way. And usually the older one is the one who kind of sets that tone. So evidently, things weren't going quite as smoothly as they thought that it was. And Robert, being the older one, and he don't like the way something's going, I can't imagine something like that happening. But he takes and he draws back and he smokes Teddy right in the face, hits him in the eye. And then he starts running. And as he's running, Teddy picks up that chipping hammer. Now, a chipping hammer's got a pointed chisel on one end and a sharpened blade chisel on the other side, welded to a metal handle with a spring around it. And he throws that thing, and when he throws it, he hits Robert right beside the head. Right in the ear. Right in this area right here. They've been to church all their life. Now they're going to get ready. Mama said, "You're going to church." She takes them and marches them into church. And not only does she send them into church, but she puts them right there on the front row. Now you got a shiner here and you got a shiner here. If you're proud enough to wear it, you ought to be proud enough to wear it. So she sets them there because you can imagine the humiliation. "Mama, you know I can't go to church looking like this." If you want to act the fool, you ought to be able to play the part.
Amen.
If you want to act the fool, you ought to be able to play the part. So I guarantee you there was a life lesson that they learned that day. What's that got to do with propitiation, expiation, or atonement? What's the redeeming factor about being set down on the front row? What was the thing about a black ear and a black eye? I've been to church all of my life, and I have found no redeeming quality of why I should go to church. And my favorite times of going to church, which was only one time a year. No, not revival, homecoming. Homecoming. Miss Margaret Phelps and Charles had a service station out on 64. And they would always come with the back end of a pickup truck loaded down with drinks, iced down. And there's just something magical about drinking a drink in a bottle out of the back of a pickup truck that was chilled in that ice. You say, "Wasn't it the food?" No, it wasn't the food. I ain't good every day of my life. My mama was one of the best cooks. So it wasn't. It wasn't that. But we never had no drinks around the house.
That's right.
All we had was tea and water and milk. So it was something out of the unusual. Well, is there any redeeming quality about a Pepsi or orange or Coke or whatever? No, none whatsoever. But I look forward to that day. Why didn't I look forward to the rest of the days? Because a whole lot of times, church for me were just something that was empty. Until something happened. See, there's something that's got to happen in everybody's life. Or this propitiation. Or this expiation. Or this atonement can't take place. But brothers and sisters, I tell you, once it takes place, there's something that changes in a person's life. And one Sunday afternoon, I was down at a friend's house down at Stumpy Point. And somebody from Manio had came over, and they played a tape. And after they played this tape, they asked a question. Anybody in here want to know Jesus? And I said, yes, I do. And that day, in that living room, something changed in my life. I found out about the propitiation, even though it wasn't mentioned. I found out about the expiation, even though it wasn't mentioned. I found out something about the atonement, even though it wasn't mentioned. But Jesus was mentioned. And what they had talked about in the content on that tape, I said, I want that. At 15 years old, been in church all my life and didn't want, but came to a place in my life. And it wasn't because things were just bad. God just offered more. He offered more, and more was presented in a way that made me so hungry for it, that I needed him more than I needed anything else. So I opened up my heart, and I let Jesus in. And as Jesus came in, there was something that changed. There was something that transformed. Something moved around on inside of me. See, you'll never come to God without an exchange. I didn't have anything to offer him. Just like my brother sitting on the front row with a swelled up black ear and another with a swelled up black eye. They had nothing to offer God. I had nothing at all to offer him. I was separated from him. I wasn't a bad person. I didn't do bad things. But I was separated from him. People that are separated from God just do things, act ways, think ways that aren't in line with the way that God thinks. But that Sunday, something higher had been presented to me. Jesus had been presented to me. And the tape that I listened to was on the prophet Elijah. It wasn't even on Jesus. But brothers and sisters, I found out that day the way that I got to where, was going to get to where Elijah got, what he had was going to be through Jesus. And the way to the fullness of joy was going to be through Jesus. And the way to heaven was going to be through Jesus. And everything that the kingdom of God has to offer comes through Jesus. It doesn't bypass Jesus. You can't get around Jesus. He's the way to it. That's why the word says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So I'm presenting a picture Not an explanation or a definition of what propitiation is. I'm not presenting a definition of what expiation is. I'm not presenting a definition of what atonement is. I'm showing you a picture of what atonement, expiation, and propitiation is. It's all what Jesus did for us that made a way. That made a way. And there was something that he done. Because I was raised up in church, but there could be words that came out of my mouth that could peel wallpaper. Anybody know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Off of a wall. You mean you would go to church and you talk like that? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something about church. Church is full of people with mouths and vocabularies and hearts and actions that are way not pleasing to God. Because a lot of times, and I think one of the things that kind of turns you away from church is because there's a lot of people that's just playing the game, going through the motions. I hate the game and I hate the emotions.
I'd rather spend 2 hours in church with people that play the game than spend eternity in heaven with them.
In heaven with them?
In hell with them.
In heaven. And hell with you. That's a thought. But that doesn't change the way that I feel. See, because I know that there's a realness. There was something that changed inside of me sitting on that footstool in that house that day that transformed my life. That's what propitiation is. I came in contact with a Jesus that I had heard about, yes, but never experienced.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And something that you just hear about and never experience is always out here somewhere. And he doesn't want to be, this is one of the things that I hate about just church. But there's also something that I love about church. So you got to get on the page with me. See, there's things about church that God detests. You think he's pleased with everything that goes on with humanity inside of the church? If we are flat out crazy. But there's things that he loves about church. And the things that he loves about church is the realness. See, because John says it. He says it like this. If we say we have fellowship with him, this is verse number 6, chapter 1. You want to look at it. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, there's something about God, and I found this out in propitiation. Jesus will accept me just the way that I am. He made a way for me to come to the Father just like I am. See, you can't come to him the way that you aren't. It's the only way that you can come to him is the way that you are. But that day when I came to him, he accepted me just the way that I was. I came with a filthy mouth. I came to him with a heart that and mind that had doubts and all about it. I said I wasn't a bad person, but you don't have to be bad to be separated from God. came to him and he accepted me just the way that I was. He loved me with all of my flaws, all of my hang-ups. Let me say this, that I didn't know I had. That I didn't even know I had. But there's something, Ronnie, that I found out about the love of God that day, and it started to work in me. He would accept me just the way that I was, but he loved me too much to leave me in the shape that I was in. He'll accept you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you like you are. And sometimes you say, well, I may not mind the way that I am. And I may really detest the way that I am. He'll accept you just the way that you are. But he loves you too much to leave you like you are. Now, John addresses some things because there were things that were trying to slip into the church. Now, let me say this when I say it's church. Church, a lot of times we equate church as this building. But church is way more than this building. Church is who you are. You are the church. Church is based on one big component. And that big component is fellowship. Now you're going to fellowship and I'm going to fellowship with somebody. Some being, some way. Whether I want to or not, we might as well go ahead and say, I'm going to have fellowship with somebody. Even if you're a hermit and stay in a cave somewhere and stay excluded from people, you are going to fellowship with somebody. So you might as well go ahead and answer that question and acknowledge, I'm going to fellowship with somebody. Who am I going to fellowship with? Now, if I've got the opportunity to be able to fellowship with God, and God can change things in my life, wouldn't I be wiser to fellowship with Him? True? But He might want me to change. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you want to be like me? I want to change. You think I want to stay the way I am? What's wrong with you, David? I didn't say there was nothing wrong. I'm just saying, I don't want to stay the way that I am. Why? Because I know that God's got more to offer. Yes. And I don't want to settle. I don't want to settle. Now, don't let me paint a bad picture, because I am quite ecstatic to what God has done in my life. That's the truth. I'm thankful for the joy and the peace and the blessing that He has on my life. But I know He's got so much more to offer. And He loves David too much to leave him like he is. So no matter where we find ourselves at on this ladder, God's always got more to bring to the table. Yes. He's got more to offer.
Yes, amen.
And if your full is full, your full can get to overflowing. Amen.
Amen?
So Jesus was the picture of propitiation. He's the picture of expiation. He's the picture of atonement. He's a picture of what it took for David to be made right with God. I came in the room one morning, and I come in the room every morning, because we start our day out sort of like this. When we get up, we tell the Lord how much we love Him. I tell Sandy how I love her. And then I go into the other room, other part of the house. The bedroom is her place. The rest of the house is mine. Now, after, when I come back in the room, we change roles. And the whole house is hers. And I'm out. But I come back in the room, and I look at her, and I say, I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. And she says, well, who does he say you are? I said, I'm redeemed.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
She said, what do you mean by redeemed? And this particular morning, I said it like this because I'll change it up a little bit. Still the same thing, but I'll change it up. And that day I was picturing the good shepherd and me the sheep. And I was kind of picturing myself in a bad place. Over off of a cliff. Somewhere a place that I couldn't get myself out of. And the good shepherd comes. And he says, David. And I had never really. You know, a lot of times preachers will be talking and they'll talk about God calling their name. And I hadn't never really experienced that before in my life. But that morning when I said, David, I could feel the love of God. Just through those words, and that He knows my name. See, it's way more than a song. He knows my name. But until those words would come out of my mouth, and that I've said my name David many times, but when I said David, that morning, I can promise you there was something that was different about it. Wasn't it, baby? I may have started crying. Because there's something about the love of God that's so amazing. It will melt you. I don't know about nobody else, but I promise you, it will melt me.
Yes, amen.
Love so amazing.
Yes.
Love so divine. Demands my soul, my life, my all. That day, sitting on that footstool, I had come to that place in my life that I wanted Him more than anything else. And you know what? I found Him that day.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I found Him that day.
We have Him today.
I found Him that day. See, I didn't find out what propitiation was. I found out who propitiation was. Not what it was, who it was. Not what it was, who it was. See, a lot of the words that are in the Bible are so empty to people because they're expecting to find out just something about the word. So if I can find out these definitions, then I can have the understanding of what it is. And still miss the entire book. Even if you knew the meaning of every word that was in it, still miss the meaning of the book. Because the meaning of the book is is a revelation of God through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the propitiation was the sacrifice that he made so that that could be a reality in David's life.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what it was all about, brothers and sisters. So that it could be a reality in my life. And I want to surround myself with people that were just like me, separated from God, but came to know Jesus Christ and are not separated from him now. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh Lord, I want to be in that number. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be in that number.
Yes.
Everybody can be in that number.
Yes. Hallelujah.
But then he says something, and John puts the rubber down where the road is at. See, it demands something. God demands something of us.
Yes, amen.
This is the message which you have heard of him. And we declare to you that God is light. In him is no darkness. Am I walking in dark places? We have to be honest with ourselves. There's two people you don't need to lie to. Amen. Well, that's the truth. That's two people you don't need to lie to. To yourself and to the good Lord. Because until you quit lying to yourself, you stay in the same place that you've always been. And when you lie to him, you're lying to the one that can help you out of the places that you want to get out of. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, what is the strong words? We lie. And the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. Boy, those words right there will hang you out in the driveway. Right after Sandy and I got married, there's a fellow that was up here from Alabama. Sandy's from Alabama. Now, we say the same words, but we say the words differently. Here's a picture. When we say hi, around here we say hi. Now, when they say hi down there, they say hide. Light, bright, night. So I said to him, repeating, your sorry hide. Don't that sound so but that's the way we talk, whether we want to admit it or not. He said, it ain't no sorry hide. He said, it's a sorry hide. Now, whether we say hide or hide, Jesus died so that our sorry hide would be nailed to the cross of judgment, but that the forgiveness of God,
yes,
could take place.
Yes.
That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. That's what propitiation is. What Jesus has done for us. And that Sunday, sitting on that footstool, my sorry hide was delivered because Jesus hung on that cross,
yes,
and shed his blood,
amen,
for me. See, for many people, it's still a story out of a storybook.
Yes.
But the Bible ain't no storybook, even though it contains stories. Because there's a reality of everything in there that can take place in a person's life if we believe it, act on it, and walk in it. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, Jesus on the cross took care of the sin problem. There's many in the church that live in the sin problem. Never deliver from it. But God is a deliverer.
Yes, amen.
Jesus is the deliverer.
Thank you.
Through propitiation, there's a deliverance.
Yes.
Why should we confess? Because there's a Savior that's been made available to us, and we need to take a hold of that Savior.
Amen.
If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. We've sinned. He wants to deliver us from a life of sin, a habit of sin. Jesus took care of the sin problem. If we miss it, because a lot of people live under guilt and condemnation because of where they've missed it. Well, this is the same atonement has a way of dealing with that. You know what it does? It says, confess it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to catch a picture. Today is story day. We ought to see these things lived out before us. Here's a picture of repentance. Now, let's say that I'm doing something that we all know is wrong. Now, let's get on the level playing field for just a minute. If it's wrong, should I be doing it? So if it's wrong and I shouldn't be doing it, let's go ahead and give it a name. Let's call it what it really is. That's sin. Now, you may even need to be more specific with it and call it by its ugly name. Because a lot of times we use a different word because it makes us feel better about something and we don't feel as bad about ourselves. True? But here's a picture of repentance. I'm walking this way in what I shouldn't be doing. I know it's wrong, but I'm still walking this way. And as long as I'm walking this way, I'm always walking in it. But when I come to a place of realization, I'm tired of walking this way. God is not pleased with me walking this way. I'm not pleased with me walking this way. Then, picture of repentance. I humble myself before God, and I ask Him to forgive me and help me to get on the right way. Or to stop walking the way that I've been walking. So there's a change in heart, which is a must. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that picture's got to change. But this is one where a lot of times it doesn't take place. It's not only a change of heart, but it's also a change of direction. I was walking this way. Now I'm walking this way. Propitiation made that possible. But just because it made it possible ain't worth 5 cents to me if I don't put it into action. Amen? So, I was going this way, change of heart. What is a change of heart? Change of direction. Now, I'm not walking away from God, I'm walking toward God. Brothers and sisters, this will do you good for the rest of your life. This ain't just for Sunday morning. This is for every day of our life. He's the atoning sacrifice. He made a way where there was no way. Amen? Yes. And when we miss it, we know that we've got somebody that can get us back on the right track. Anybody here today? You know, that day in that living room, they said, anybody here want to know Jesus? They've been to church. But I'm going to tell you what, church won't save you. Jesus is the propitiation. He's the sacrifice. Do you know Him? Do you want to know Him? If you know Him, do you want to walk closer to Him than what you've walked? Amen? I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. See, when we want to walk with God and we're walking with God, there's a fellowship. And in a fellowship, He'll do things. See, Sandy and I, we walk together, and I love her. And she's a wonderful woman. And I will tell her things that you won't never hear. Why? Because my fellowship with her is different than my fellowship with you. And your fellowship with God is different than it is with somebody else. Now, let's see what her response is. We still get giddy. Why? Because we got fellowship. There's nothing that replaces the fellowship with God. You can come to church all you want and not have fellowship. Or you can come to church and you can have fellowship. And we all ought to encourage each other. Come on in a little bit further. You stepped in some water. Now come on in a little bit further. God is the lover of our souls.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Stand. So amazing. It melts me just to think about it. But I thank you that I don't have to just think about it. Glory to God, I can experience it. I plead the blood of Jesus over all of these precious people. Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to them in mighty ways. That there be such a hunger, such a desire to walk in your ways.
to know you, to walk pleasing with you. I plead the blood of Jesus over there. In Jesus' name, amen.